Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And you're welcome back. Pat Shields, you and your wife had a small apartment that you were renting out. Tell us your story.
Well, Katie, firstly, thank you for taking the call. We had a little apartment that we rented out in October 2014 to a tenant. The first 2.5 years of the tenancy were fine. And then, for whatever reason, she lost her job. The reason we were given was that she had reported fraud within the company she worked, and she was currently dismissed. That was fine up until July of 2017, when she found herself in a position where she couldn't pay the rent. My wife questioned her as to what was going to happen regarding the rent, and the reply she got from her, which left her absolutely stone cold, was, "I have educated myself as a tenant. You should educate yourself as a landlord." And this came as an absolute shock to my wife. She came back up here and she was shivering. And she said to me, "We've got a problem on our hands." And that's exactly what we did have.
And this apartment was very close to your home.
It is indeed. It's at the rear of our garden. We have a long garden and we built the apartment there. And that's where she was. So we also had the added problem that the tenant was on our property and we were sort of faced with her every day.
I was going to say, had you developed, like she'd been in the apartment for a long time at that stage, had you developed a relationship with this tenant?
Oh, no, we didn't. We just a speaking relationship with regards to collecting the rent every month, but we didn't have any, I would say, close relationship with her as such, you know.
Okay, so you now have a situation that you've been told to educate yourself as regards your rights as a landlord.
Yes, that's exactly what we were told. And I should say that this is the first tenant we've ever had. We're new landlords, and the last thing we were expecting was something like this to happen, and it just came as a complete shock to us. And thereafter, we had just gone through 2 years of hell trying to have this tenant removed. At this present moment in time, we have rent in ESB arrears of $22,000. We have legal fees approaching $20,000. And it has cost us almost $6,000 to refurbish the apartment again. So, as you can see yourself, it's quite a lot of money.
Okay, so let's go back to the basics. You're basically being told that you needed to find out what you could do, basically. Go and find out. Did you go to the RTB?
Yes, we went to the RTB in September of 2017 to an adjudication hearing. And the result of that was basically in our favour. And the tenant was ordered to pay the back rent, etc., etc. And she appealed this decision, saying that the adjudicator hadn't given her, hadn't taken due consideration to what she had said. So as a result of that, a tribunal was set up. And she attended the tribunal. Unfortunately, because she spoke for so long, we didn't get a chance to put our case forward. So it had to be reconvened again.
And when you say, sorry to stop you there, Pat, but just, what was she saying? What was her case here? Why was she maintaining that she should be allowed to stay in the apartment?
Her case was she was accusing us of being antisocial landlords because we kept asking her about the rent. And they accepted that as an appeal. When it went to the appeal, it was ruled out. It was ruled in our favour. And she was told to pay her back rent or her back ESB. As I said, and she appealed that, and then it went to a tribunal hearing. At the tribunal hearing, there were three panel members there, plus a stenographer. We did not get the opportunity to speak because she spoke for the whole meeting, and the meeting had to be reconvened again. So in total, we had six meetings with the RTB, and after each meeting, she appealed. And they kept hearing the appeal. And this is what was annoying me, because the appeal was the same all the time. And every determination order that the RTB made was the same. It was all in our favour. So we found ourselves in a situation where at the final tribunal we went to, we were given authority then to go to the court. And we had to go to the court. And we were in five or six court hearings as well before we got an order to bring the sheriff in. It just went on for 2 years. It was an absolute nightmare. And I feel very disappointed in the RTB in the sense that my understanding of the RTB being given these powers...
This is, I should say, I suppose, the Residential Tenancies Board. Sorry, Pat.
The Residential Tenancy Board. My understanding was that they were given these powers for to settle these matters, but they only have the power, it seems, to take it so far, and then you still have to go to the court to have it finalised. And it was just a nightmare, an absolute nightmare.
And tell me, was your legal advice along the way that your tenant was entitled to all these rights of appeal? It seems extraordinary that you could keep appealing and appealing.
Well, after the second RTB hearing, we had to engage a solicitor because we knew things were getting serious. The solicitor told us that they can go down to the court or they can go down to the RTB and they can lodge an appeal, and that appeal has to be heard. It just seems to me that when an appeal is put in, there doesn't seem to be any back checks done to find out if that appeal has been heard before. It's just accepted and then it's brought up again. And that's what was happening to us all the time. And we were just completely... We were lost in the system, you know.
So it went on for, as you say, 2 years. You did eventually take the case to court. And what was the ruling in the court?
Well, the ruling of the court was basically the same as the RTB. I should say, I think we had 5 court appearances, okay? And she didn't turn up for any except the very last one. She kept emailing the court the day beforehand or that morning of the hearing saying that she was sick, you know, which I found very strange because if you look at the RTB's ruling, if you are not turning up, if you're summoned to a meeting with the RTB and you're told to turn up, if you don't turn up, you either must provide a sick note from your doctor or you must send someone else to represent you. Now, she didn't do any of that, but yet with all they allowed these things to go ahead. You know, and I was sitting there like with the solicitor, which has cost me money for all these hearings as well.
And it must be, as well as being expensive, obviously, and time-consuming, incredibly stressful for yourself and your wife.
Katie, it was 2 years of hell. I mean, we've never, you know, I've never been in the courtroom in my life. I mean, this just came as a total shock to us because we didn't know how to behave or anything else. And that's why we had to engage the services of a solicitor. Because we could see that things were not going well, and this girl just was just lodging appeal after appeal for stupid things, you know what I mean? And I just can't understand why they allowed it to go on for so long.
Eventually, the case was struck out because tell me the circumstances.
At the final court hearing, the judge struck the case out and gave us leave then to apply to the sheriff's office for eviction. Which we did. The sheriff sent her a letter on the 8th of May 2019 informing her that she had 20 days to leave to vacate the apartment with her belongings. She totally ignored this. She made no effort whatsoever to do anything. So consequently, on the 22nd of May, the sheriff's office arrived with a locksmith, knocked on the door. She wouldn't open the door. She opened the window. The sheriff obviously told her what he was there for. She closed the window. He knocked on the door again. She repeated the same thing again. And he told her if she didn't open the door that they were coming in, she slammed the window closed again. And consequently, the locksmith had to undo the lock. When he undid the lock, she also had hammered wedges into the back of the door on the inside, trying to prevent them coming in. So they had to forcibly then put the door in and physically remove her. It was crazy. It was like something from hell, really, you know.
Were you there to witness this? Did you see this?
We were there, and to be honest with you, now, Katie, I didn't take any joy in it, believe you me, but it was a situation that had to be dealt with because she wasn't going to leave willingly, and it was the only way it was going to happen.
And go back, you were saying earlier, your legal costs at this stage...
Our legal costs, because when we went to court... As well as the solicitor, then we had to engage the services of a barrister. So our legal costs at this stage are approaching 20,000 and 22,000 of arrears. And it cost me all of the, we had to throw everything in the apartment out. We had to throw out the bed, the sofa, the flooring, all of the white goods, all had to be, she had them broken, they were all destroyed. And the apartment was in an appalling state, absolutely appalling state. It took me 2 weeks. And 3 coats of paint on the walls to try and bring it back again. It was unbelievable. One of the problems we had was for the last 12 years of the tenancy, she wouldn't allow us in to inspect the apartment.
For the last 12 months, you mean?
Sorry, the last 12 months of the tenancy. She wouldn't let us in to inspect the apartment, so we had no idea it was in the state it was in. It was just appalling. In actual fact, when she was put out, we have two entrances. We have an entrance at the side of the house, and we have an entrance at the rear of the garden. The sheriff put her out the entrance at the rear of the garden. She ran around the house to the front, and she came into our front garden, and she sat down. And the sheriff then rang the guards to have her removed from the premises altogether. The guards arrived, a band guard and a male guard, and she told them that she needed some paperwork out of the apartment. So the guards said that they would go down and get it because she wasn't allowed back on the property again. So the band guard came down, along with myself, to the apartment. I opened the door. She put one foot in the door and she said, I'm not going in there. She said, I can't stick that smell. So we had to bring the male guard down and collect the bits and pieces that she wanted and give them to her. It was just unbelievable. It took us 2 weeks to get the smell out of the apartment, whatever she was doing. Everything was destroyed in it.
And just going back to her case with the Residential Tenancies Board herself, are you saying that the only issue she made or the only claim she had against you was that you were asking her to pay the rent?
That's what we were asking her, but she claimed that to be antisocial behaviour. That's what she put that's what she claimed against us, that we were antisocial landlords because we were asking for the rent all the time. And they accepted that as an appeal. And that's what amazed me. Like I think we're within our legal rights to ask for a rent.
This woman who's now no longer your tenant, but was she your first ever tenant then? Was this your first foray into the landlord world?
That was our first, That was our first in 2014. And it'll probably be our last as well because we wouldn't want to go through that experience again. The other thing that upset me as well was that the 2 year period during which she didn't pay her rent, she did someone else out of a place to live. Someone else could have been living there quite happily. And that didn't happen because she was there,
And again, all of this fell within you had a lease, everything was legal up until that point, and still you found yourselves in that situation with really nowhere to turn.
Well, the point of it was, Katie, both my wife and myself, we're not hardened landlords by any means. But we felt so helpless. We just, even with the solicitor on board, we still didn't know where to turn because, I don't know my way through the legal system. I'm not a legal person. And there was gaps of weeks and weeks and weeks between each hearing or each court case and so on. And you never knew what you were going to be faced with until you went in there. And it was devastating. It really was.
And you think that might be it for you, that you're reluctant to rent out that apartment again after that experience?
I think on the basis of what's happened, I think that would be the case. I just wouldn't want to go through that again. I mean, we've lost a colossal amount of money there, and I wouldn't want to be put in that situation again.
Okay, Pat Shields, an extraordinary, very traumatic story for yourself and your wife. Thank you for bringing us that. There, we'll take a break.